All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh. Joined as always, it is
Matty Juice. Pointing the wrong way. There we go. Yeah.
I felt like I was on the other side last time.
Yeah, I know. I think it depends on the order we join, I think, for the video. Like, for whatever reason, yeah, it does shuffle it based on that. But what's up, everybody? Episode 69 of the Fresh Podcast. There we go. So how you doing, Tommy?
I'm good. Had off today for Martin Luther King Jr. Day here in the States, which is, good. Got up early, got on another podcast with my good friend Kale, Down Under in Australia. We do a lore episode on Fresh and Buds for every set that comes out. Kale is a lore expert and has a great YouTube channel for it. So they come on and we have a good time. So got up early, did that. And then shoveled because we got hit by a pretty bad snowstorm yesterday. And then I went to the gym. And then now we're here recording this podcast. And I had a decent weekend, too.
Nice.
My sister-in-law, which is my wife's sister, which people know what I'm talking about, but I have to say it, came over and stayed over for a couple of days. So we hung out with her. I went down south and, my wife got to meet my friend's baby, Will. You know Will. Shout out Will.
Yeah, Willie.
And little Danny boy, little DK. Nice. And it was just funny. My friend Will, big time Super Smash player. We played a lot of Melee growing up. Was not all the time a Donkey Kong main, but every once in a while when his brother would start pissing him off on Fox or whatever, he'd bust out Donkey Kong because for whatever reason, it was like the counter, at least on that couch. I don't know about in the general arena, but now he has a young boy whose first two initials are D and K. So I got when the baby was born, I got him a little onesie that was Donkey Kong. So it's like, got to carry on the mantle,
you know. But that's awesome.
Yeah, it's but we were talking before the show, just work stuff. pretty cool working, making money. But other than that, how's it going for you?
It's going good. Right now your hat, by the way, I thought it was like one of those like old golf hats or whatever. For a second, I was like, oh man, Tom's getting stylish today. Also, how much snow did you guys end up getting?
About 6 inches, which I would say is way too much, honestly. But I shoveled a decent amount of it last night, but like we still got more after that. So and then to clean up the cars and all that, it's just pain. Put down some salt.
We got like only like 2, maybe 3 inches snow.
Just enough, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good amount. Yeah, that's gets the job done. Yeah. And but actually last night I'll go backwards over like my weekend, but last night I ordered Five Guys and I just really wanted a burger. I was
only
like, four
showed up.
What
I said, and only four showed up anyway.
Oh, that's a good show, folks. Episode 69. but I, it wasn't really like starting to snow yet. So I was like, all right, Five Guys is like really close to my house. I'll just do that real quick. And I gave the person like a little extra tip. And I see them pick it up and they go. Five Guys is maybe like a mile from my house. They go 2 miles the opposite direction. So I'm like, okay, they are, they're dropping off another order, whatever, that happens. And then I got a text. It was like, your order's been canceled. I'm like, I'm pretty sure this person just picked up my food and just drove home and then it is now eating it. So it said to call Five Guys. I did. And like the person I talked to was just like, oh, you're going to have to talk to DoorDash, even though I didn't use DoorDash. I used their app, whatever. And I ended up getting a refund. And then I decided I'm an idiot. But I was like, I want to just drive the Five Guys. And it was like peak snowstorm. I was just like going fucking 15 miles an hour on like a 40 mile an hour road just to go pick up a burger. And it made me think, I've done that multiple times. I've been in like a nor'easter torrential downpour, go to pick up like a sub, you know, and for whatever reason, I am just like, I'll drive through anything, I guess, to get food if I'm hungry. Yeah. You know, so that's what I realized about myself. You know, I just, in the moment, I'm like, I'm such an idiot. I better not get in an accident. But when I get home, I'm like, I did it and I'll do it again.
You know, it's in times of like need like that, that you kind of really endear yourself to certain food places that like are willing to still be open and serve you. I remember when we used to live in Lebanon, New Jersey, shout out Lebanon, Route 22. And it was like a nor'easter kind of snowstorm starting to happen. And it was like kind of getting to like dinner time. And we were like, oh, we don't have any food really, other than like some chips in the house. Oh, we should probably order something. Call like three pizzerias, close, call the fourth one, Giovanni's in White House Station. Got to give them good press. I was like, tell me you're open. You're like, if you order now, we will make it, but you'll be the last order. I'm like, thank you so much. I was forever endeared to them. That's why I'm giving them a shout out. Shout out Giovanni's on Route 22, White House Station.
Nice.
New Jersey.
How was USA, the pizza? The world. Did it hit different?
It's good. Time? It's good. I mean, they got good pizza, I would say. Yeah. Like, you know, for like a pizzeria, like a classic kind of pizzeria.
Yeah.
You know, that we get a lot of here in Jersey, it's on the higher echelon. It's not like got to travel to go have it, though I would suggest these are nice people. You should go see them. But the owner looks like Murr from Impractical Jokers. So that might be another reason to do it. So
there you go.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about my Murr story?
I think you might have, but if you want to tell the listener, I don't know if you said it on the show.
I don't remember if I said it on the show. There's a billboard that Murr put up like in the town. I think I did tell this story. And I took a picture with the billboard to get a postcard. We haven't gotten the postcard yet, but anyway, that's a Murr story. Yeah. And then frankincense showed up and a little bit of gold. Anyway. But
Jesus.
Mary?
Yeah, but as far as the rest of my weekend, I did a stream on Saturday, so that was good. A nice bulky stream there. Always like when Saturday kind of opens up, and I like doing like a morning into like afternoon stream, because I don't know, it just feels like I get my day started and then I'm just like streaming. I'm like, this is like what I want every day to be like, you know, just like, that's my day. But anyway, so that was fun. That was a good time. And then, you know, I was watching some football as well on Sunday. Eagles won, go Birds. And then, yeah, went. I did not have off of work today. I've never had off, unfortunately, on MLK Junior Day, but I did have a half day though, because I took a half day because we went to the vet. Pluto just had to get a little booster shot. And now we've been basically going to the vet every 3 weeks, because like the way that these like vaccines or whatever work is like they're in two parts typically. So you have to get one and then wait 3 weeks and then get the second part. And so we've had that like back to back to back, because they can't do them all at once or whatever. So we finally, this is the time where we didn't have to schedule another appointment. So we're like, nice. Okay, hopefully it'll be like a year or something, you know, for like a yearly checkup or whatever. But it's, you know, it's just because like he's big. It's like I got to lift him up into the car. It's like a whole thing, and he's good and all that. But we have to start feeding him more too, they told us. So I guess because he's so big, I have no idea. But anyway, it was a good time, and it was good to get a little break off of work. I set up some stuff. Instead of using, I know I mentioned on the show before, I've used the Steam Link to play games from my computer over to my TV. So I'll play a lot of games that we review on the show that way. I actually set up something different that apparently is better. It's called Sunshine. And then I have Sunshine installed on my computer, and on my Xbox downstairs, I have Moonlight installed. And so I was playing Steam games from my computer to my Xbox before. And you can apparently install Moonlight on a bunch of things, including the Steam Deck. So if you ever like wanted to stream a non-Steam game to the Steam Deck. Like maybe it's on Epic Game Store or whatever. Or even, I guess, like maybe emulators, unless you can install them natively on there. But I know a lot of people use Moonlight on the Steam Deck. But yeah, I don't know. I set that up earlier, and it does seem like it runs better. So I'll talk about what I was playing in the rec room later. But yeah, so that's right up to now, everything that's been going on. And I'm excited to talk about some indie games.
We are in the presence. We are in the presence of greatness. Or are we? We will discuss about the Rangers in the South, a new... I guess like kind of RPG, roguelike action RPG that just came out, and we reviewed it. We will review it. We played it. It's a good time, or is it? We don't know. As our saying goes, if the juice ain't worth the squeeze, we'll tell you. But before we do that, we do have some news. Always the biggest news ever is the Fresh Juice Discord, which is available for all. And you can join in the show notes, I believe, below, and it's a great place to hang out with us and submit listener questions, which we've been getting some heaters, some real bangers. So, you know, listen, if you listen to these questions and you're like, oh yeah, these are good questions, I think they're all right, I could probably ask better ones, hop in the Discord, show them who's boss. Now we got some news, a game that we covered the demo of not too long ago, Sworn, which we really liked, enters Steam Early Access on February 6th, 2025.
Oh, that's coming up. That's in like 2 weeks.
That's very exciting.
It is. It's super exciting. And honestly, I mean, they've been doing some playtests in their Discord. Was not able to play any of the other ones, but I'm sure they've made some iterations. So I'm excited to see, you know, the release on... the 6th, and you know, obviously it still will be early access, so it's not going to be a complete game, but it felt pretty good even with the limited content in that demo that we played. So I'm really excited to try out some stuff that was not available in that demo for when it comes out. And I think me and you probably will be playing together, and it is 4-player co-op, so if anyone else, any of the juice heads want to join us, let us know in the Discord. Because we'll definitely be playing it. But yeah, very excited for Sworn. Thanks for showing me the game as well, Tom. I think you were the one that brought it up. So definitely one that I've had my eye on since we've been playing it. So yeah.
Yeah, this is a pretty exciting one. I think that it has the potential to be one of those, you know, not all-time greats, but like a banger for sure. And like, indie games are great. And you get a lot of great experiences. Oftentimes, the multiplayer experiences are best on the couch, right? But I think that this game, Sworn, is one of the more promising like online co-op, like indie games that we've come across in a while. So I'm excited to see what at least the early access release is going to be like, and you know, kind of go from there.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point there, because it is fun online co-op wise, but this would definitely be a game that I would hope for like a couch co-op update at some point, because it kind of just reminds me of like Crawl, right? Where like, hey, you want to do a run of Crawl, right? Like let's do a run of Sworn, you know, while we're hanging out. So yeah, hopefully that's in the plans at some point, but you know, yeah, it's still enjoyable, you know, from an online co-op standpoint. So excited for this one.
Yeah, me too. And you know, we'll see. I don't know if we'll review it in early access, but we'll certainly be playing it, I think. So
yeah,
it might just make sense to review the early access. Let us know below if you want to hear about Sworn from us in early access. And this one you threw in here, popular indie FPS won't get updates for a while. Because why? The dev was sentenced to 3 years in prison. What's going on here?
Yeah, so this is a wild one I just saw pop up. And I was like, I got to talk about this on the show. So a solo developer for the indie FPS game Fortune's Run, Dizzy, has been sentenced 3 years in prison for a past crime. It doesn't get into the details, I don't think, of what the crime was, but the quote from the developer says, "I have some stuff going on I need to make public as it's going to interrupt development. I've been sentenced to prison for the next 3 years. It's a long story, but I've lived a very different life before I was a game developer, and I wasn't living very well. My case is about 5 years old now. I have been going through the legal process the whole time I've been working on this. And it's I've finally been found guilty and sentenced, and I'm going away next month."
This is wild.
Yeah. And it says, "It's a shame, but it's the consequences of my actions. I was a very violent person, and I hurt a lot of people in my life."
Oh my God.
Unfortunately, the sentence isn't going to help with that at all, but I guess we all know that. And he clarified this is not a sex related crime. And what I did was wrong, and that's all you need to know. And also he does confirm, or he or she, the game isn't totally dead, but it's unclear what will happen. So, pretty interesting stuff here, Tommy. I don't think I've ever seen this ever, in the gaming space. And apparently, I mean, it's got very positive reviews, Fortune's Run, and it's early access. So some point, you got to finish it, right? I guess.
It's going to stay in early access, I'll tell you that much. this is kind of crazy. I mean, listen, I hope, obviously, this developer had made strides in their life to be better. And maybe one of those outlets was making Fortune's Run. And I'm hoping that this is the case of a rehabilitated person, and that the system works the way it is with the 3 years. 3 years is an interesting number to kind of fall on, but you know, that is crazy, right? And it's a wild announcement. Like, hey, just so you know, going away for I'm going to be away for a couple of years, but I'll be back. Which is, I don't know. I hope this person is redeemable.
Yeah, same here. And, you know, just, I want to make it clear, not making fun of this person. It's just a wild story, and especially all that they kind of revealed about it. But it does also say in the article that they are no longer in financial dire straits since our game actually sold okay. So I should be able to afford rent once I get out. So there's a chance that if you wait a few years, I'll be able to cap off the release. So to me, that sounds like someone that's like, you know, at least wants to finish the game and obviously, you know, be a better person after the fact, which seems like you said, they've been trying to do. But just wild stuff here. And also, you know, this apparently used to be a two-person development squad and more recently was only one person. So it makes me wonder, you know, I guess you couldn't pass the game off to that other person. Maybe that person, you know, maybe it's this person's kind of baby, right, in a way. But it's just unfortunate because this game could just fall off the face of the earth, right? And even if they finish it, no one's going to care at that point. Who knows where gaming's going to be. So, unfortunate for many reasons, but pretty wild stuff.
Well, interesting enough, any press is good press, I think.
Yeah,
some people will get some more eyes on the game and you know, and I don't want, I'm no detective, but hopefully the other developer in the two person team was not the receiver of the violent crime.
And
that is why
I did not think
it went from 2-1, but you know, I'm hoping that there was just creative differences, but this is wild. Now, in terms of any other news, I did see Cassette Beast launched on mobile. Cassette Beast, which we had talked about a while ago, is a Pokemon-like, I guess like a DS-era Pokemon-like. I actually downloaded it, and I was playing it a little bit. I was like, this reminds me of like Pokemon Black and White, or Diamond and Pearl, I guess, probably closer to. So if you like those games, I would check it out. I think it was at least like free to a point on iOS. So, it's a cool little game. You become the monster, and the way you become the monster is like you pop a specific kind of cassette in your cassette player. It's kind of cool. So,
like Ben 10,
kind of like Ben 10, you know. But in terms of news, I think that's it. But we do got to talk about this game, the Rangers in the South. which immediately makes me think of Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah.
This is kind of interesting. I don't know if they wanted that, but it definitely has the vibes. The blurb here is, purge the lands in this 2.5D HD pixel art roguelike ARPG. Create hundreds of characters with unique strategies and abilities, face hordes of enemies, explore different biomes, procedurally generated dungeons, and obtain unique items. Let's get into the gameplay, which is it's pretty simple. So you kind of pop into this world, and it is the gameplay. You are a pixel sprite in this kind of more 3D world, like really well generated and kind of beautiful, a lot of cool colors. And then you kind of stick out, and it kind of reminds you of like the PlayStation 1 era JRPGs that, you know, were popular at the time. Now that's going to go into the art side, but you're running around and you pop into this world, and you're like, you can choose from, currently, because there is a 2025 roadmap for a game that is out in 1.0, mind you. You pop in, you choose from three buildouts, which was like a ranged character, an axe and a shield character, and then a mage type character. And it was it's interesting. Sorry, Matt.
Sorry. I was trying to make the video a little bit bigger. It did not work.
So you pop in and you run around. There's like a kind of a base little village that you start in, and it's kind of like this open world, right, where you can run around and start attacking things. You know, it just, these enemies kind of pop out of nowhere, mostly like orcs in the beginning, right, as you kind of venture into this beginning stage, which is like a prairie of sorts. And, you know, there's not a lot of direction right in the beginning, but you have the ability to block with your shield if you have a shield, and then attack with your weapon, whatever it is. And then as you beat enemies that are just kind of randomly spawning and attacking you, you will gain experience. And once you have enough experience to level up, you make camp, and then you get to choose like one of four different buffs like things you want to level up, whether it's like your defense or your evasion or something else. And then after that, you get to choose an ability to either level up or gain, right? So you have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 slots for your abilities, you know, that you use on the key binding as well, like the matching key slot. So kind of just like a pretty fun roguelike experience. I felt like I was just exploring a lot, because it's kind of like this open world concept where the map kind of fills out as you're exploring it, and you have these different biomes. And basically what I did was I popped into this game. Initially, I was just running around this prairie and like killing things. I was like, all right, this is not the extent of this game. I need to kind of explore more. So I just start following the road, right? The road takes you pretty much to all the biomes, I guess, or at least to a certain point. I got to one that the road stopped. But, you know, you go through, the enemies get more difficult. Randomly, you'll get attacked by like a horde of enemies, and they'll be blowing these really annoying horns. and then every once in a while a little boss enemy will spawn as well. And then there are actual, you know, bigger bosses as you progress through the game. But, you know, it's not an entirely long game. I did not beat it, but I know that if you kind of are good, you can get through this game in like 5 hours, and there's a final boss. And then there's some end game stuff as well that can make future runs a little bit more difficult, you know, as like most roguelikes tend to be, especially in this kind of genre. It's pretty simple. It's fun. I felt it might have been a little too easy at times for, you know, it to be kind of the roguelike experience. Like, I in all the time I've played so far, I've died once. Mm-hmm. Right. I would have expected to die a lot more. Now I maybe have gotten lucky, but you know, it is kind of cool to like discover new items and new equipment pieces and weapons, and you can get pretty powerful stuff too if you're lucky. All in all, I felt like it was a pretty chill game in a way. If you just want to like run around and explore, and I liked the gameplay. I didn't feel bored. There's enough random shit happening basically that like, at least while you're exploring, you have to like be on top of your game a little bit. You can't just explore mindlessly. And there are these different biomes and different kind of enemy types that kind of make it pretty interesting. But all in all, I didn't feel very deep, but I felt like the skill level, or at least the difficulty level, should have been a little bit higher, I think. If I wanted to like be forced to like restart and like try different strategies.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think I only died once as well. And because there's a certain point in the game in the beginning where I think it says, it's like a note from the developer, like dying is like part of the path, it says, or something like that. Like it's expected basically. So when I read that, I was like, oh, okay, this is, you know, might not like, that's kind of how like the Souls games work. But I didn't expect this to be like that, but I was like, oh, it's something like that where every time I die, cause you lose your character, but you still keep your map progress. I don't know if you do keep things that you left in your stash. You might, I'm not 100% sure. I didn't check that. To me, it was going to be a game where I'd have to be restarting a lot and learning new things and be like, okay, I'm going to choose this upgrade over this one. It almost kind of had like a Vampire Survivors kind of feel to it, where I was expecting it to be a little bit more like that, in terms of like having to restart often. So I agree about the difficulty. I don't think the map is very big either. I know this is only a $4 game, right? So hard to argue about that. I think it definitely had, enough to do. Like there's cool dungeons and stuff that you can find, that like that's where you can get some solid gear. But I will say I think I got three of the same sword. I did one dungeon, I got a sword, a purple one. I went to another dungeon, there were two chests at the end and they were both the same sword. maybe a little variance in what I'm getting, especially I was playing like the mage, or whatever. And so I wasn't using a sword. I was using a wand. So would be nice to maybe get something a little tailored to like the quote unquote class that you're playing or something like that. But even though that doesn't really matter because you can end up changing your gear anyway. But so I did have a little issue with that as well. But overall with the gameplay, I was really happy. Like I had this sense of discovery. It reminded me of Valheim, probably because of the way the map is. That's how it works in Valheim, is it's a procedurally generated world and you're discovering it on the map. And you can share that map with other players too, which is really cool to share your discoveries. That's one thing I would like to see with this game is like I checked immediately. Pretty much after I started playing it for like 10 minutes, I checked like right away. And then, I wanted to see if there was co-op because I was like, this game would be really cool co-op, like online co-op. It doesn't have that. Obviously it's single player. So that's one thing I would like, for this game to have is like a bigger map, introduce some co-op, share some discoveries with people. I don't know, just have a little bit more. I don't know. I felt like this game should have been have a more social element to it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't really expecting it because I was just looking at gameplay. I wasn't expecting it to be only single player when I first started playing, but it is a good experience though overall, like as a single player game. But I feel like, yeah, it needs more of the restarting if it's going to be single player. You get like cool XP bonuses for like chaining kills together. I think that's a cool kind of mechanic. I don't know if that's usually in games like this. As far as the going off the path, originally I kind of started playing and I just kind of followed the path, the little like you know, dirt path that the map has. And, you know, I found some stuff, but I was like, I also had the same thing where I got to start exploring in this game. Like, I was like, after my first death, I was like kind of afraid to like go out like randomly. I was like, I got to stay on the path, like see maybe there's like story elements I can find. And then once you start going off the path, like that's where you found like a cool dungeon and there's like a chest over here and enemies pop out of the trees, you know? So like it was a lot more exciting once I started doing that, which is cool. So, I did enjoy the gameplay. There were some small things I would like for them to change. Like, I don't think you can reorder the abilities that you have. I don't think you can do that. I tried to look. So you basically have like hit one on your keyboard and that's the first ability you unlocked. Hit two, that's the second ability you unlock. So if you end up, you know, your fourth ability is one that you're like, oh, I want to use that one all the time. I like to move that over to one because it's just easier to hit. And I couldn't do that. So like there's small stuff where like this game, I wouldn't have like dinged it for this if it was early access, which at times it can kind of feel like that a little bit. Or, you know, I know it's a solo developer for this one. So. I think so, right? It's a solo dev.
I think it is.
Yeah. It's a solo dev. So, but because it's out, you know, I feel like that's stuff that's like should be in a game like this. You know, I'm kind of a little all over the map there, but my overall experience, I give it like an 8 out of 10 with gameplay. You know, there were a few things that kind of held it back, but I definitely enjoyed my time playing it.
Yeah, it's a little cute game. On the gameplay side, in terms of story though, I'm sorry, I don't need that. I keep clicking the banners, but it changes the way things look. And that's just for the YouTube video viewers. But anyway, story wise, there's not much, right? It's your classic roguelike experience. Like go out there, explore, die, restart. You know, you have like different kind of characters you run into, but they're not like, they're more just like the straight up NPC. Be like, hey, make sure you know, eat your food or whatever, which was a weird mechanic actually to me to go back to gameplay for a minute. You kind of like have to eat food like periodically. And like, I know this is a mechanic in other games, but I especially the first one I ever played like that was like Minecraft, and it felt like the Minecraft food system. Mm-hmm. Which I get it adds a little bit to the realism in a way of the game, but I didn't think it really needed it. But I digress. Story-wise, not much going on here, but the world is very cool. You know, you get to explore. It's like a beautiful world, and you know, you find these pretty cool items. And I didn't have the same issue as you where I was finding the same item, but it anytime you see like some really cool, like the purple always means like epic or mythic rarity in these games, you're like, oh, I gotta see what that one is. And I felt like, you know, that was probably the extent of the world building, like really cool items and stuff like that. With like, there is some like implied lore, I guess, in story where you come upon a like a orc encampment. And this is like a special kind of orc encampment, but you don't get to learn a whole lot about it. I felt like, you know, they're all saying some weird stuff when you come around. Like the dead will rise. There's